The text of our message today is found in Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 to 22. Matthew 17, verse 14 to 22. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and so vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." And the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his holy word. The title of my message today is, "Does God Require of Us Casting Out Devils and Faith Healing?" The charismatics who today stress the return to old-time miracles and miracle healing, they say yes, and they try to put into practice casting out devils and faith healing. My sister had a friend who had a daughter mentally ill. At last she found that the charismatics do this casting out of devils. She brought her to the charismatic church, but they could not do anything for her. As to faith healing, one day I went to the general hospital to see a dying lifer. Suddenly there came three young men. In fact, they are in their late teens or early 20s. And the bed next to our lifer was his friend. There they raised their hands and prayed for him. But nothing happened. And that's the way they go about. Sometimes they pray for one another. "You lay hands on me and I lay hands on you." Then there are some Johnson converts. Though having a headache, they would not take 2 tablets of Aspro. Aspro was a Panadol in the old days. But they must pray through, or else it means they had no faith and they offended God. All these are misunderstanding of the doctrine of healing. Well, let us turn back to Matthew chapter 10 and you will see whether it applies to us or not. In Matthew chapter 10, we have Jesus commissioning the 12 disciples. And at the end of the commissioning, he says in verse 7, "And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." So, we know that Jesus, in the original passage I read, he was not chiding us for not able to cast out the devil or the demon that had affected the young man who sometimes fell into the water and sometimes fell into the fire. He was rebuking his own disciples for lacking faith. In fact, the whole gospel record has no mention at all of Peter or John casting out the devil, much less the other disciples. What is the reason? Because they were still apprentices. They had not yet graduated. The following of Jesus Christ 3.5 years was not enough. They must wait until the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because an apostle must have the experience of seeing the risen Savior. So it was after the resurrection and the coming of Pentecost with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that the disciples now were promoted apostles, that they now were able to do these miraculous things. And it all started with Peter and John when they came to the temple and there was a young man who was lame from his mother's womb. And he wanted something, money, of course. That is the usual expectation. But the disciples, the apostles, Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have to give you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he slept to his feet, and the people marveled. And it was from them that we can see from Acts chapter 5, verse 21, that the apostles began to do miracles. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. From that day, especially after Peter and John, the people brought the sick, those had evil spirits, and put them on beds and couches and lined the streets, hoping that the shadow of Peter would fall on one of these sick people and they would be healed. Well, that was their faith. And the Bible says that all of them were healed, every one of them, bringing sick folks and them which are vexed with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. everyone. Why did these miracles occur? Later on, we have Peter going down to Lydda and raise up a paralyzed man for 8 years and resurrected Dorcas at Joppa. There were many miracles done by the apostles. Why? In order that the young church might be confirmed and established. And just as Peter was apostle to the Jews, the Lord definitely sent him to the revival of the Jewish church to believe in Jesus. God also raised up Paul to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And Paul, during his 3 missionary journeys, did quite many miracles too. At Lystra, he raised up a man who was also lame, and when it was so dramatic because he leapt up and walked, the people thought that the gods had come down to earth. The Greek people believed in Jupiter, and that was Barnabas, and in Mercury, and that was Paul. He was the outspoken man. And so, Paul went on wherever he went, the Lord gave him miracles. We'll come to the practical last one at Ephesus. And there, Paul did miracles from his handkerchiefs and aprons that he used. And if these were taken out, they would be able to cast out devils and also to heal the sick. So powerful. Today the charismatics have this practice also. Send me so many dollars and I will send you a handkerchief that this evangelist has blessed. And that will cast out devils and that will heal your sick. But while God gives the miracles, He also will defend the true miracles against false miracles. So, there was one Jew, one of the chief priests, Sceva by name, and he had 7 sons. And they went about also casting out devils. But when it came to this one, he rebutted the sons of Sceva. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? So, these false prophets were defeated. God protects the truth, but exposes every lie. This is reflected in a pastor in Singapore who tried to cast out evil spirits. Well, there were sometimes some of these mentally deranged people, but not too much, that were delivered. But when they came to the real case, he could not do a thing. So much so that in his struggle, he became sick. And this time it was a sex devil, a woman. And he liked to be confronted by young men, and they touch her. But at any rate, This pastor did not succeed. The result was that he became ill, and his church had to advise him to stop from this altogether. And so he quits. The Lord will not go along with those who are not working out His will. When the Apostle Paul was able to cast out devils and to heal the sick miraculously, this confirmed the church. It established the young church. But here is another case of the charismatics many years ago. But this evangelist came again not too long ago, so he came here at least two times. And the people praise him sky high that he is able to cause the lame to walk and the blind to see. Printed on the conference paper, which I read. But there was none who was caused to walk or be lame. There were many wheelchairs, but none of them could ever walk properly. They might be able to rise up a little while and sit down. And so, the final result was that there was a post-conference paper, and I read it too, of a young lady who said, "The evangelist prayed for me and my vision on one eye has become better. But now I still have to go to the doctor for an operation on the right eye." Well, surely this is a contradiction. If the evangelist of the prayer could improve a vision of the left eye, why did he not also strengthen the right eye? That is a contradiction. Thank God that after Ephesus, there were no more miracles recorded of Paul. The reason is that by now, he having founded a Bible school of 2 years in Ephesus, greatly strengthened the church. And there was no more need of miracles to strengthen the young church. Saint Augustine, who was a bishop and a great Christian philosopher, years after commented on this. There was no more miracle because it was a natural development. There was no need of any miracle to establish a church. So it is with us today. There is no more need for us to defend the faith in the fundamentals. They are all well taught, though there are still many modernists, missionaries, bishops, who do not believe the virgin birth or the resurrection. But these are quickly discovered. So there is no need of miraculous healing. It is very good that with the advancement of medicine and surgery, we are able to receive cures in many areas. Now you buy 2 tablets of Panadol and your headache will be gone in 30 minutes. Don't be like those Johnson converts who said, "We must not take any headache pills, we must pray through." when God has everything prepared for you, such as good food. You cannot say, I have faith, I have no need to eat rice. We have faith and we call on Jesus every day, we eat rice every day. These are gifts from the Lord. And so, I want to give my own testimony. You cannot say, I have faith, I pray through. But when God has given us so many advances, and I want to quote my own example, that through Elder Lim Teck Chai, who is a doctor himself, he got me a council of 7 specialists in the hospital. And one day I was found out to be having some trouble with my lungs. There will come the specialist dealing with lungs. I have diabetes. There is the diabetes doctor to monitor me. But the most important thing, it was a real emergency when I could not have motion and in urination about 10 times in the night. The next day they put me through the prostate operation, and I came out perfect to this day, and I'm most grateful to the doctor who healed me in my prostate. And then there was a slip disc. It took me about 10 months to get over it entirely. And I believe in the doctor. There were people who say, you must take a second opinion. No, I said, I trust him. And today I stand before you perfectly cured. 100%. There is no more pain. And I thank God every week for the fact that modern medicine is a gift from God that we can enjoy and give thanks for all the successes that the modern surgeons can give to us. But now times are changing even more rapidly as we come to the end of the age. And I would like to read to you what Jesus said to the apostles in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, when they came to ask Jesus, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of the coming and of the end of the world? Of the end of the world. We're coming to the end of the world. Verse 7. He says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. And as if everything is planned, we just have a confluence of all these troubles, SARS has been plaguing the world for quite some time now. Every day our newspaper is full of SARS. But pestilences, what is a pestilence? Something very evil, like a plague, like an epidemic. And while we do everything according to human procedures, doing our best to cooperate, do we ever pray? We must confess our sins before God and pray for our government. that they will also turn to God to know that there is only one Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the sins of the world. Not only we have pestilences, then with these pestilences come famines, the disruption of everything. All the airlines are going bankrupt. And that is a proof of famine when your economy is disrupted. That, as it were, as if it's not enough, you have Turkey earthquake that wrought havoc. Especially we read of the children who are trapped in a school. That toll was 150 and more coming. But a few years ago, the deaths mounted to tens of thousands. And this is a true fact. Every year you cannot escape a big earthquake here or there. Not to say one, but many. Only that some in far places are not made known in our country. Then what happens? Matthew 24:14, the end of this passage says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." While the world is in a mess, the church is above the world, the Lord takes good care of us, He protects us from every harm, but He expects us to awake and to be diligent, to be anxious for God's kingdom, to be involved in God's kingdom. And I thank God for many lifers who are willing to go out whenever a new station is open. May the Lord show us the way. Miracles are given in the beginning to establish a church. Miracles are withdrawn now because there is no need of any of them. And we should not follow the lead of the charismatics who have turned back to the old-time miracles. But rather, we should use all the gifts of God that He has given now and be involved in His kingdom.